I'll put it in my words, that he becomes our only want and need. So I just wrote me a little note there that says, if I press into him, blessings are forced out of him into me. Guess what's forced out of me? Crud. For lack of a better word, crud. When I squeeze him, when I press into him, I force blessings out of him into me, but something has to go. And that would be the crud, the dross. Amen? Praise the Lord. Bill, I appreciate your word too. There is no doubt that there has been discouragement. I'm going to tell you something. The devil has mounted probably one of the strongest attacks against me that I've ever seen in my life. It's come physically, it's come financially, it's come every direction, all at one time. And all I have to do is start praising him, and it really doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't make any difference. I started off with a statement about faith this morning in my prayer. There's only one thing that matters, and that's, do I know God? Don't I? Do I trust him? Don't I? Do I trust that everything's okay? For y'all's benefit, you should be saying yes, 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 yes. There you go. I don't know when we're going to learn. You want to excite yourself, say yes. You probably won't turn me up one bit of volume if you do that, but it'll turn you up. Hallelujah. Let's continue with our praise and worship of our God, our Savior, our Lord, with our tithes and our offerings to him. Amen. Anybody that needs an offering envelope, cash envelope, raise your hands and these guys will get them to you. There's two, three, four. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? You have some announcements? You want to make them now while they're...
Well, good morning and welcome back to half of you.
which half are you not welcoming?
Well, because half of you weren't here last week.
Oh, okay.
So we're glad to have you guys back. The other half are still out there. Just a couple of things to take a look at in your bulletin. We will not have a home ministry meeting tonight. Next Sunday night, it will be at our house, though. Let's see. Also, there will not be a Tuesday evening Bible study this week. However, that will probably change here in the next week or two to come. Take a look at the birthdays. I kept in some of the Mays because we've got some that were here either in the last day or two or are going to be here the next tomorrow. Let's see. I don't know if you guys noticed out there on the sign, but we've started utilizing the sign again. And if you've got anything that would be, we only have two lines, so I can't have a big page of stuff to say. But if you've got any catchy little phrases to put on the sign, please give those to me, and I'll utilize those. Let's see. What am I forgetting?
What's up? Well, Connie, I don't know how long it took her to do that. She's learning, so I know it took a while. But I appreciate the work she's done in that and the work to come. That's not bad for a first try, I'll tell you that. Any of you that's worked with a computer some, you know that's pretty good for the first try. The other one was a little bit of her design and a little bit of someone else's, but this is hers. Let's see, what is today? 30th? Okay. All right, if you guys will come forward and you be healed, whatever that is, you be healed. Want to, and I'll just say this for the devil's sake, come hell or high water, we're going to continue in the Word. We're going to continue in whatever God tells us to do. And we will not be deterred. Amen? Okay. This will be what I consider the number three part of the series on calling. If you've missed either one or both of the first two, you really need to get that. You really need to get it and listen to it. So that you'll, because I'm not going to keep going over it. I got to keep moving because this is a big subject. And once again, get the tape and catch up. Patrick is just, he gets excited about making tapes. So you need to excite Patrick. Okay. We have already established that in our first session that everyone is called. Is everybody here at least an everyone? Okay, so everyone is called. You're called to salvation, and you're called to call others to salvation. Last week we talked about this very strongly. You're called to be in God's likeness and image. That means you are changed from the likeness of your original father, Satan. Nobody likes to be told that, but when you're born in sin, your father's Satan. It's in the Word. And you're called out of that to take a new father from sin and evil to the God of righteousness. So you're called in His likeness and image, righteousness, to take dominion. You're not just called to righteousness. You are to use God's likeness and image of righteousness to take dominion against what? Me? Oh, come on. Let's grow up a little bit. I'm not big enough for that. You don't get something bigger than that. Take on the devil with it. Take on the things that he's bringing to you and at you. That's where you're supposed to take dominion. You've also been given the ministry or called to the ministry of reconciliation. The reconciler, the one that is first called to the ministry of reconciliation, Jesus Christ, is calling you from sin into life everlasting. Life, not death everlasting. And then you've been called to the ministry of reconciliation, which is becoming new and showing and telling others how to become new. That's the ministry of reconciliation. First you do it, then you tell others about it and show them with your lifestyle. That's, we're called to that. We're also called to, these are some things we might not have covered, but I'm going to hit them anyway. We're called to increasing faith. We are definitely called to increase faith by life, word, and deed. We're called to fatherhood and motherhood and brotherhood and relationship. We're called to healing and casting out the demonic and miracles and righteousness and holiness. We'll get to those, but I want to throw them in now. Let's start for what I'm going to do today. If you'll turn to Ephesians 4, verse 11. Very familiar scripture. Very familiar. Ephesians 4, verse 11. I want you to remember something. When you sit in any church, whether there's a million or there's one, because I remember this, it's a story that I heard a long time ago, and I'm not going to go all the way through it, but the man that got Billy Graham saved was a man. One man. And the preacher that preached to that one man never met Billy Graham. He preached to one man. That's about all that was there that day when he preached. And that man gave his life to God. And that man witnessed to Billy Graham and got him saved. And millions have been saved because of that. So, see, don't count heads. Don't count numbers. Don't count anything like that as a success. Because your calling is not dependent upon numbers of any type. Not money numbers. Not children numbers, not wife numbers, not houses numbers, not lands numbers. It doesn't depend on numbers at all. It depends on what God has in His head. That's it. That's it. If you're called, if you're birthed by God and called to reach one man, there's a purpose, or one woman, there's a purpose. If that's all you ever did, that's enough. If that's God, all God ever called you to do. So just relax. Listen today. I got my wife fussed at me last week because I think I mentioned one topic heading and never mentioned any more. You need to be better at your outlines. I'm not better at giving them, you just be better at taking them, okay? I'm going to say A. This is A. A calling. Anybody here want a calling more than just being saved or just more to the ministry of reconciliation? I do. Here's what I must know. A calling for me must be from God. Now you'll understand why I just put that down. Must be from God and must be for His purposes. Now we don't have any trouble with the first one, but sometimes we have trouble with the second one because we want some of our purposes in there also. But they must be for God. A calling must be from God and it must be for His purposes. Ephesians 4:11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now you can put anything else in there you want to. This is mentioned here. This is called the fivefold ministry, or the headship ministry, or the governmental ministry, if you want to say that. But every calling can be put after this. Put it after that first scripture. Why? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, who's this for? Unfortunately, too many times the church says, oh, that's for me because I'm part of the body, I'm a saint, so it's done for me. No. It's for the equipping of the saints for God. It's for the work of the ministry, God's ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Jesus wants a hot bride. That's why. A 10. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. To a perfect man. That's what this is all about. One man perfect. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, till that perfect man measures our groom. Is a helpmeet equal to the work that Jesus has to do. Helpmeet. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. But speaking the truth in love, one of our callings. We don't like that one. Must be from God, must be for His purposes. Number one, I've got a couple of knots. Here's where the callings cannot be from. They cannot be from your parents. It cannot be for your parents. I have relatives that went into the ministry because their parents said they should. A calling cannot be from a parent and it cannot be for a parent. How many of you know that the first thing that a child wants to do is please the parent? They act like they don't, but they do. So what do? We slip a ministry in on them. Just a little sideline. It's not, a calling is not from a church and it's not for the church. It's not from church leaders and it's not for church leaders. I'm going to tell you a typical example. If you were going to a real strong evangelistic church, that's about all they ever talked about, then you're not going to make it unless you become an evangelist. And every pressure that's put on that congregation will be evangelism. That'll come in different forms. Mission fields, it'll come in going out and canvassing the neighborhood and door hangers and everything in the world. But it will be evangelism. If it's real strong missions, I mean, you're going to go to hell if you don't be a missionary. Now, come on, y'all have been in those churches before. I have been in a lot of different ones. I was raised in a holiness church. So they kept you at the altar all the time if you did anything unholy last week. So needless to say, we had worn altars. I'm not negating any of those. All of those are callings from God. But they're callings individually, not corporately. My calling is not yours. Yours is not mine. I don't do mine for you. You don't do yours for me. You do it for God. Amen? Must not be from or for your own desire. What you do for God must not be from. Now, we're going back originally when you first get called. Not, it becomes your desire after you're called and have accepted the call. But before then, most of the time, a calling comes from something you don't want to do. It's your first test and challenge. to see if you'll accept God and trust God. By the way, who makes you want to do what He wants? You or Him? Doesn't He say He gives you your desires? So the first test will be to deliver you from your desires into His desires. I've told you many a time about the last thing I remember saying before this church came along is, I will never pastor a church. That was my desire. God had to deliver me from that desire. You see what I'm saying? Now, I've never regretted that since then, but He had to deliver me from my own calling into His calling, if you want to use that word. There are a lot of reasons that you will take a desire from a parent, from a church, from yourself. A couple of them are, you just want change. You know, you can latch hold of a calling just because you don't like where you are. You don't like the way things are going. You just grab somebody. So you just grab a calling. I think I want to be that. That sounds good. That looks good. That feels good. The other way, one of the major ones that's laid on people is that you think it will please God. Now listen, don't get confused with what I'm saying. Everything you do is because you want to please God. But sometimes, especially young people, they head off in a direction because they want to please their parents, but they also think that it will please God. They didn't check with Him. They didn't check with Him. Hey, my parents laid on me all kinds of things that would please God. So now it's not a call of God, it's a call of my parents to please God. You understand what I'm saying? Sunday school teachers can do that. Friends can do that. Television ministries can do that. All right. And it cannot be, a call cannot be from fear. A call cannot be from fear. I'm firmly convinced that the church ought to preach hell. But they ought to teach it as a fact, not as a way to call you to salvation. So, you don't receive a calling from fear of hell, fear of death. This could be your last breath. You're not guaranteed of your next heartbeat. Come on, let's cover that one time and then let's don't talk about it anymore. I'm build your faith is what you're called to do, not scare you to death. Not from fear of hell, not for peers. We just covered that a while ago. You're not called by pressure from outside. Not even if all your friends are going to YWAM. All right, that doesn't mean you're supposed to go. And not because you might lose friends. Can I tell you something about a call from God? If you're mixed up with the wrong friends, that's the first thing you're going to lose. That's by God's design. You can't do the work of God if you're surrounded by the work of the enemy. So there's a lot of things could change. Let's just be ready for that. B, you must know that you know. How many of you have ever seen people that have decided they were called and then decided they weren't? Now, this is the hardest thing in the world for humanity, especially Americans, to understand. It's only a decision if it's forever. If it wasn't forever, it never was a decision. God puts out a word to you. You make a decision on that word. Once you make a decision on that word, you can never change. Because if you do, you will say in your heart, somebody made a mistake and it probably wasn't me. Because that's human way. You'll try to blame God. There's nothing worse than a false call. Nothing more discouraging than taking on a call that God didn't give to you. Because you'll go down in defeat and you'll just by traits of humanity, you will blame God. You must know that you know. What must you know? Number one, you must know that you heard it from God. Now we've already got a problem because about a big portion of the church I don't believe has ever heard from God because they don't press in. They don't push and they don't shove and say, God, I got to hear from you. I'm not giving up. I'm not leaving this place. You're going to talk to me. I got to hear. There's nobody else I want to hear from but you. I'm not asking anybody else. I'm going to put my fingers in my ears, and I'm not going to hear anybody else until I hear from you. You think that makes God mad? It don't. It does not. You must know that you heard from God. Now, after you know you've heard from God, you must know that it's confirmed several times by other than God. Now, don't hear me say that wrong. God can speak through others. I'm talking about a direct. You heard from God directly. Now you need to hear indirectly. Some people call that a fleece. I don't like the word fleece. It's a negative connotation in our language anymore. But you do the Bible. Well, let me read you a scripture. Here's what it says. Matthew 18. You can write this down. Matthew 18, verse 16. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, I know that God doesn't want us to be cautious in the way of fearfully cautious. But He wants us to be sure, surely cautious. How many of you know that God's not running out of time? Come on, look at me. Is God running out of time? So He's got all the time in the world to confirm to you. You're the one that's lagging behind. So you just lag behind as much as it takes to be sure. God's waiting on you. You're not waiting on Him. Be sure. Set there, wait. Who must you hear from? Who should you hear from in a confirmation of a word of God? Those that are not familiar with the situation. Don't ever... Listen, I promise you this. Harry, if you and I talk long enough, I'll know everything in the world about you, because you will tell me. It's mankind. It's the way we do. You talk to somebody long enough and you'll know everything about them. So that's not the person you want to hear confirmation from, because they already know what you need to hear. So don't trust that. If the person knows the calling, the situation, the question, don't listen to them. Even if they come to you with words, don't listen to them. Put them over there on the back burner and say, it's going to be a stranger. It's going to be a strange situation. It's going to be somebody or something that knows nothing about me. And it must be several times. Will God do that for me? Yes, He will. He wrote it in His Word. He will do it for you. And He will do it in a way that cannot be denied it's God. You will not be able to deny that it's God. When you hear from Him, you won't be able to deny it. Now, we're talking about true calling from God. Not those things that I covered first about salvation. You know when you were called to be saved. You know that it was God. Nobody can tell you anything different. We're talking about another covering, a calling now. Specifics calling. You need to hear it several times. Does it work, Connie? It works, doesn't it? You'll hear things. People come to you and say things. They may say it over the microphone. They may come to you directly. And it will exactly answer your question. And you'll know in your heart that they didn't know the question. They gave you the answer and they didn't know the question. Now, don't jump up and down and scream and scare them to death. They may never do it for anybody else if you do that. Just smile and say, thank you, Lord. Let me tell you another way that you'll know it's a calling from God. Other than a word from God, other than a confirmation, it won't leave you alone. A calling from God will not leave you alone. You can run, but you can't hide. You can deny, but not truthfully. You will know the difference. It will not leave you alone. It's about all you think about. And when you try not to think about it, your friends will remind you of it, and they won't even know it. God's a good God, a faithful God. Now, another way that you'll know is that when it won't leave you alone, it's okay. That's a strange way to say it. When it's bugging you to death, when you know you're trying to put it on the shelf, you're trying to push it off to one side, and it just keeps bothering you, it's okay. Down deep in you, you know it's right. That's what I'm trying to say. Down deep in you, you know it's right. Even though you want to just cuss God out sometimes, you know you won't because you know it's right. Everybody in here know that you were born knowing right from wrong. Hard heart is the only thing that can change that. So down in your heart, you'll know it's right. Okay. Now here's, I probably should have put this number one, but I put it number three. How will you know that you know? Number three. The call came while you were seeking God. The call came while you were seeking God. You weren't out building fences, thinking about fences and not anything else. You didn't care what God had to say. He didn't take a steamroller and run over you with it. It came while you were seeking God. Guess who put the seeking God in your heart? See how God sets you up? He makes you hungry for Him. And then when you come to Him, He calls you. It's not our way, but it's God's way. Your call came while you were seeking God with all of your heart. Why? Because it's the only way you're going to know it was from God anyway. You had to be seeking Him. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Let's put it that way. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him. And guess what happens? He will direct your path. He will give you your calling. And He will direct you in that calling. It comes while you're seeking Him with all your heart. See, you and God. All of a sudden you're called now, okay? This is a corporate thing. It's two of you doing something now, not one. We all know that God doesn't call you and throw you off to one side to be on your own, right? Okay. You and God must be sure that you cannot be detoured. Now, you want to know the biggest enemy to a calling of God is you, because you're not sure you can make it. Think about that. The biggest enemy to a call from God is you, because you're not sure you can make it. Now, let me ask you something. Does God make mistakes?
No.
So in the seeking process, if God calls you to do something, can you do it? See how I set you up on that one? There was only one answer. Does God make mistakes? No. So if He called you to do a job, He knows you can do it, or He wouldn't have called you. So the only enemy to this calling is you thinking you can't do it. That should excite us. Because I promise you this, the one power on the face of this earth that has more confidence in you than you is God. Always remember that. If God taps you on the shoulder and asks you to do something, don't argue with Him. He's smarter than you are. He knows you can do it. Okay. Psalms 16:8 says this. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Because He's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So I have to make a determination, if He gives me a calling, that because I'm at His right hand, nothing can move me. That's two things. He won't allow me to be moved. I won't allow me to be moved. Psalms 62:6. Psalm 62:6. He only is my rock. He only is my salvation. He only is my defense. I shall not be moved. Why? He only. It doesn't say, I'm so stubborn, I'm so mean, I'm so smart, I'm so tough. It says, He is my rock. He is my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. So who's the cement or the non-moving in my calling? He provides the power. I provide the decision. Okay? Proverbs 12:3. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but he'll be established, but the root of righteousness shall he not be moved. The righteousness of God will cause you not to be moved. Your faith in God will cause you not to be moved. You know, right at this moment, I want to remind you of something. You are called to health. You are called to prosperity. You are called to abundance. You are called to power. You are called to authority. You are called to dominion. You are called to laying on the sick, laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. You are called to those things. Now, are we going to be moved? Well, I promise you the devil's faithful to try. And I promise you your own body and your own mind is faithful to lie to you. But if you'll remember the scriptures, those three scriptures we just read, you'll understand that your solidarity, your fixed position is kept by God according to your decision, daily, hourly, minutely, whatever it takes. Here's what you, according to the Scripture, and God, according to the Scripture, have to know. Number one, circumstances will never overwhelm you. I told you before, if the devil can find what it costs to ruin you, he will pay it. So you better know in your mind there is no cost. There is no price. There is no way. Or the minute he finds it, he will do it. Circumstances will not overwhelm you. That number two, you will not quit under any conditions. Remember that conversation, Harry? We will not quit under any conditions. I don't care what. I don't care how this body feels. I'm not quitting. The Bible says, I don't care if everyone leaves me or forsakes me. I will not quit. Amen?
Amen.
I'll not quit because I'm tired. I'll not quit because I'm bored. I'll not quit because there's a livelier church up the street. I'll not quit because I'm discouraged. Let me ask you something. If any of these applied, if you got a little discouraged and you quit, where's this going to stop? You think this is the last discouragement you'll ever see? No. The devil just found out something. He can whip you with discouragement. Here it comes, brother, in spades and bundles. You're going to get discouragement. Because you didn't whip him, he whipped you. He's coming back. You know that. If you and I fight, and you whip me, you're not a bit afraid to come back and do it again. You've got to be tougher than the enemy. I'm not going to quit because I find something that looks better or is more interesting. How many of you know that if you're just a lowly evangelist, that the calling of a prophet looks better? Now, I'm telling you, that's the way the devil works. No matter where you are, the grass is greener over there. That's the devil. There can't be any better grass than where you're called. Number three, God and you must be sure that you will never forget your calling. You know, I have a terrible memory, except for the things God has spoken to me. I don't forget those. I can't explain that. I mean, either you can tell me something and 5 minutes later I'll forget it. But God tells me something and I'm not forgetting it. I promise you. I can take you back nearly every time God's spoken to me, and I can nearly verbatim tell you what was said, because it's the only thing that counts. Number four, God and you must be sure that no one, let me read this right. Oh, a likely one. And I've only had this happen about 1,000 times. Somebody's going to come and try to convince you that you didn't hear from God because of situations or circumstances you could not be called. Have none of y'all experienced that one? My word, that's the number one out of the holster draw that he makes. He'll point back to your past and see all those failures. There's no way you can make this work. Well, you see that lousy personality, that ugly hairdo, or those long feet, or the physique, or whatever. See, that doesn't fit a calling of God. You got to look on television, see all those spiffy-doo people in those $1,000 suits. That's the guys that are called. Yeah, they're called to something. I'd like for them to sit here for a little while and listen to my message. I really would. I'd like to give them a little test and see if they fit these things. Find out how many really were called. There's a lot of people out there. A lot of people that are in ministry that aren't called. Because they haven't passed the tests. Number five, you must know. You must know that God knows, and you must know that you know that when you get a call, it's forever. When God calls you to do something, it's forever. Now, how can that be, Stan? Can't God change His mind? No. No. He can change a plan a little bit, but He can never change His mind. What do I mean by change the plan a little bit? Well, I've been called to do a lot of different things. And I know when they were, and I know what they were. But He never took one back. He just layered it. You know, when I was a little kid, they had a nice hamburger joint down in Texas called Whataburger. That's a good place to eat. Whataburger. What a burger. Whataburger. But when I was a little kid, I wanted one thing on my Whataburger, and that was meat. And you best not put anything else on there, I wouldn't eat it. A little later, I found out cheese was good on there. A little later, lettuce is pretty good. Even came a time when I used to put Fritos on there. Used to make my mom and dad get me a package of Fritos, and I'd open them up and put them in my sandwich and eat that with cheese and lettuce. And then there was a time when tomatoes were better. You understand the layering effect? That first calling was still there. That's where I started, and I liked it that way. But I liked it the other ways, too. I just had to get used to it. I don't ever believe that God takes you away from your first calling. He just adds to it. I think I could prove that biblically, but I haven't got enough time to prove everything with massive scripture. Just believe me. I remember my first calling, and it's still as alive and real today as ever. And I've been discouraged because it kind of wanes. It goes away, and you're called to this, and you're called to that. No, no, no. You know what I think? I think that there are some people that are going to be called to a lot of callings. Some people, a few. Don't care how it works out in your life or mine. Let's just go for it all, right? Yeah. By the way, I still don't like onions on it. Maybe God will call that one day. The call is forever. More can be added, none given up. Here's something I want to tell you and I want to warn you about. The call is forever, but your enthusiasm is not. If you don't stay hot on the call, if you neglect the call, that call will fade. I didn't say God's word to you will fade. Your action on it, your blessing from it, the anointing with it will fade. But let me tell you one other thing that makes it worse. Your responsibility is forever. This is the bad one, Harry. This is the one that none of us want to hear, but this is the truth. If God calls you to be a minister of any type, that responsibility is on your life forever. Because God don't make mistakes. And He holds you accountable. Can I tell you why? Because He had a plan in that call. And there was lives depending on that plan. And the Bible is specific about we will answer when we get to heaven. We will answer. See, I don't want anything. And I know I've got them. I know I've missed some things. But I pray to God that we just do some catch up, which is okay with God. He'll do that. He can do that. I don't want to leave it stale. D, as in dog. All callings are from God. They belong to God. They don't belong to you. If I determine that Connie and I are going to have our 50th wedding anniversary, that'll be a task, won't it? We can do it. That's only 40 years from now. I can make it. Can you? All right. Okay. If I send you that invitation, you can call that invitation yours all you want to, but the party's mine. And you can frame that thing and you can hang it on the wall. You can dance on it, shout. You can have your own party because of the invitation, but the party's mine, right? That's God's calling. God calls you, but the calling, what you're called to, is His. That's how come He can empower, and He can protect, and He can provide, because it's His. He has to. Now that's the bottom line here. He has to provide for something that's His. Or it'd be a stupid plan. He'd have a plan with no provisions. God doesn't do stupid plans. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Did you get that? I said it's forever, remember? It comes from the Father of lights and there is no variation, and He won't change His mind. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. Can God lie? So then when He speaks to you, it's the word of truth, right? Okay. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, when you hear, lay aside all filthiness. You want to operate in God's calling? Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. All callings from God belong to God. Number one, they are from Him, they are for Him. Number two, they will be performed for His glory only. They will be performed for His glory only. Number three, they will be accomplished His way, not ours. Ooh, there's the rough one. You know, when a guy gets called to the ministry, you know, the first thing he does is he goes to ministry school, so that an ex-minister can teach him how to be a minister. With all the mistakes, with all the blunders, you can be like me. I am so perfect, I'm going to make you like me. Well, who called you? Did that man call you, or did God call you? And if God called you, who owes the teaching? Where did we miss this? Some theological cemetery doesn't know the calling of God on your life, and they can't teach you how to do it. This is not electronics. I can go to electronics school, and they can show me every little step. But not ministry school. It won't work. Number four, He designs them to be used with our personality, not with others. Boy, that doesn't fly in ministry school. You say that, and you're going to get an F that day. See, the first thing that ministry school wants to, I don't care what you call it, I'm calling it ministry school, so you can call it anything you want to. College, theological seminary, you know, the popery, where they make you a pope, you know, whatever. He gave me, Harry. He gave me my personality. He knew me before the foundations of the earth. If I needed a different personality, He would have given me that. So I'm not going to go into psychological training so that I can undo what God's done. Don't you think that God can change me in the twinkling of an eye if He doesn't like my personality? So please, don't you try it. Because I'm at the right hand of God, and He's guarding my personality. Well, it's pretty cantankerous. I don't care what you think about it. God took it out of stone. He molded it for a purpose. Why? Probably to deal with people like you. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Let's get real. That's the truth. You know it takes a special character to minister to me? It really does. Not just every Tom, Dick, and Harry going down the street can come minister to me. Do I want it that way? No, that's the way God designed it. I wish ministry to me was easy, but it's not. I mean, he had to pick a special, hardcore woman to minister to me as a wife. And he did. Why? Why? Because He's made a lot of different people, and it takes a lot of different personalities to minister to a lot of different people. Make sense? Either that, he could have made us all canned spam, and we'd had one big canned spam up here to minister to all the little cans of spam. What's spam? That's everything's ground up and mixed together. That isn't the way God made us. He didn't make me spam, and he didn't make you spam. He made me a special cut, and he made you a special cut. Callings, because of this, I hope you're taking notes, because this is major stuff, I'm telling you. It'll give you great courage in your call. If everybody in here was called to be an evangelist, okay? God spoke to everybody last night, and he called everybody to be an evangelist and go into the evangelistic ministry. Give up your jobs. Everybody's now going to be an evangelist. And he lines us right up right here, all the way across the front. We stand side by side. Did you know every one of our ministries are required to look different? And yet the school of theory tells us they all should look the same. If you go to evangelistic school, the first thing they're going to do is give you a canned bunch of scriptures, and you better learn those or you fail. And every time you go out to minister, you have to quote those scriptures. And your personality has to be flushed down the tubes. The personality that God gave you, they're going to flush the commode on it, and you have to come in their likeness and image. When God's total desire is for every one of us to minister different. So let's take some boldness in that. Never try to mimic others. Number five, God's glory shines in variety. Please, write that over the calling, whatever you think God's calling you to do. God's glory shines in variety. E, God's callings are not requests. I can send you the invitation for my 50th, you can choose where you come or not. God sends you, and there's no repercussions. Just send the gifts. There's no repercussions for that. But when God calls you, it's more than an invitation you have a vote on. It is now a responsibility, and you will be held accountable. Listen, when I say things like this, don't take negative. Say praise God. Because he doesn't make mistakes. Understand? He doesn't put something on you that you don't want to do. Or if you don't want to do it, he'll soon make you want to do it. Relax. He doesn't put something on you can't afford. He'll give you the money. Remember the men of the Bible? If I go back here right there to Bill France back there, I'd say, next Sunday, you're going to preach in front of 10,000 people. His response would be, no way, I can't do that. And he probably should tell me that because I'm the one calling him. But if God told him that, he better keep his mouth shut and say, yes, sir. Because everything he needs, God will give him. Just like that. With faith. You know what he'll do the first time he stands up there? He will sweat the biggest bullet you ever saw. That's human nature. But God will take care of that. You trust him. God's callings are not requests. He never forces you. But he does hold you accountable. By the way, way back there early when I first started, when are you going to hear from God about your calling? When you're seeking him. So who made the first move? So don't get mad if you get an answer. That's what we do. We go to praying to God. And we go to seeking him as we should. We get hungry for him. Then we get closer to him. And all of a sudden he says, this is what I want you to do. And you go, ah, not that. Anything but that. Well, you started it. You said you wanted truth. You said you'd do anything for him. Didn't you say that? Well, don't back up now, because you're in the presence of God. It's a bad time to get reverse. Bad time. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Now, we always call that one of these little children promises. This is a threat. I'm reading this as a threat now. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. For everyone who... Listen, is everyone going to hear from God? Everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, It will be opened. I'm getting close to being finished. Hang in there. Why do we know that they're not requests? Because you asked and you got an answer. How many of you think that God suggests? God, I want to hear what you want me to do. God, I want to do what you want me to do. God, I'll do anything. Feed my sheep. Is that a request, God? Can I vote on that? Can I take some of those questions back? That's what I'm trying to picture to you. It's not a request. You asked. You got an answer. Don't talk back. This is the Father speaking. This is God speaking. I don't make deals. F. A calling comes with requirements. Luke 12:48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Now, how heavy a call do you want? Did you put restrictions when you said, I'll do anything? Well, but you know, I've got a job and I've got family and I've got them in college and I've got to make a certain amount of money. Did you know that God listens to restrictions? Unfortunately, He does that. If we put restrictions on His call, He'd give you a little call. Go across there and witness to your neighbor. At your leisure. But what if in the sincerity of your heart, God saw something? I believe this guy will do anything I ask him to do. So what am I going to ask him to do? The biggest thing I can think of. Now, God is not a sucker. Do you all know that? If you really mean in your heart that you'll do anything He asks you to do, He's going to think of the biggest thing He can think of. Y'all don't act like you believe me. Tell me you'll do anything I ask you to do and see if I don't figure out the biggest thing. Now, to whom much is given, much will be required. So, to the calling or the gifting comes requirements. Number one, how many of you know? You got to figure this one out. This is one of those 2+2ers. It doesn't equal 5. You got to know that when God asks you to do something, He puts some responsibility with it. Right? I don't care what it is. If it's nothing but cleaning the church toilets, if that's the first step of a calling of God, He is going to put some requirements. What kind of requirements? Well, if you don't, He's going to get upset. That's all I need to know. I don't want God upset with me. You can be upset with me, but not God. I'm not afraid of you, but I'm afraid of God. It will require a change for the better in your lifestyle. Some commitment. I had somebody call me yesterday and say, man, I passed by the church. Somebody that y'all all know. I passed by the church. I love what that said. It made me think. I've been missing too much. I really don't have any great excuses. I'll try to do better. I said, quit making excuses and change. If that sign told you to get in church, get in church. Stan, you shouldn't be so hard. Harsh. No, I should put so much cream on it that it can't be tasted. Boom. Greater responsibility means more are watching. Greater responsibility means more are watching. More watching means more responsibility. Let's reverse it, and I'll say it that way. Therefore, God requires more. Here's the bad one. Here's another one. There's only a couple of bad ones in here. I'll warn you before I swing them at you. God is going to require things of you He doesn't require of others. What do you look at me funny like that for? It's a calling of God. He calls you to do something He's not calling somebody else to do. What part of this is hard to understand? He's going to require of you to do things. Why am I telling you that? So you won't get feeling sorry for yourself and quit the call. Just know in advance. When it came time, before it was time for God to tell me that I was going to take this church, He went to Connie. Why? Because she's called to me. But this is strange. He went to her individually and said, I want you to start doing some things, and made a list, and I want you to stop doing some things, and made a list for her. She says, why? None of your business. Something's going to change. Do it. Why did he speak to her that way? Because it was my calling. Her calling is me. My calling is whatever God says. So he's preparing her for my calling. He didn't come to you and tell you that about me. Told her. At the same time, came to me and said, you're going to take the church. I did not go to her and say, is this okay? You don't believe that? You ask her. I've never once ever gone to her and said, God, I think, is telling me I got to do so and so. Is that all right with you? That's not right. I'm to have no other gods before him. When he makes my mind up, my mind is up. It's not an insult to her. She knows where I stand there. All of these requirements and all of these responsibilities will be no sweat. That's the good news. In the military, we used to run 1 mile and 2 miles and 3 miles and 4 miles and 5 miles. So our chant was 1 mile, no sweat. 2 miles, no sweat. 3 miles, no sweat. That's the picture. In other words, all of God's requirements, they're joy. Don't be afraid. They're joy. You know what the biggest... Let's make this real simple. You know what the biggest joy in the entire world is? I always meant for teaching purposes, I always made it this simple. A good night's sleep. But you know what it takes to have a good night's sleep? A good relationship with God. And if you can go to bed tonight knowing that everything's clear between you and God, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. I don't want to make this calling thing real complicated. After I've already made it complicated, I'm going to make it simple. You pray to God. You do what he tells you to do. Go to sleep at night, and everything's going to be cool. Everything's going to be all right. That's how simple this is. Last one, G. God does not require without empowering. God never puts something on you that he don't give you the power to do. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, are you fully persuaded? That what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Are you fully persuaded that God can take care of you? I mean, just abandoned, fully abandoned. God can, will take care of you. Number one, he empowers the called to fulfill the call. He gives you power with the call to fulfill the call. He empowers the called to fulfill requirements and standards of the call. This is cool. If he requires you to be the saintiest of all saints, then he gives you the power and the want and the joy to do it. And you're not looking over the fence and saying, that guy's lifestyle is so easy, I wish I had his lifestyle. You never say that. You say, God, thank you. Thank you. I don't care. I don't care if you put the hardest requirements on me. You give me the power to fulfill them. I got it made. I'll do it. He empowers the call to pay the bills. He never puts something on you he don't pay for. He empowers the call to have joy. He empowers the call to have faith. Any amount of faith that takes to believe God. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He gives joy where others think there should be sadness. Listen to me. He gives joy. When other people are looking at you and say, how can he put up with that mess? That's why you got to learn not to care what anybody else thinks. It's just you and God. Uh-oh, I lied to you. There's one more. You will always need him. This is H. You will always need him. Don't think because he's given you the call that you don't need anything else from him. It's all taken care of. Even though I said he'll never leave you to forsake you, I promise you, he wants you close to him, pressing in, as Renee said. Pressing in. Why do you want to press in? Because you feel like you've got to or you'll die. You'll hunger and thirst after him. You will always need him. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So in the highest calling, you'll always be hungry. In the lowest calling, you'll always be hungry. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. You will never have all the information. You will never know all future. He will make the rules, set the standards, and set the times. Big one, the times. You've got to trust him even in the timing. He will set the rules, he'll set the standards, and set the times. When you neglect him, you will starve. Did he say he was the bread of life? So when you neglect him, you and your calling will starve. I thought that was going to be a short one. That was a long one. I promise you, I keep trying to make them short. There was a lot covered in there. Get the tape. I believe that this probably, if you can get these basic little facts down, you got it made. If I were going to place something on you now from the Spirit, I want to know if you're man enough or woman enough to receive a call from God. Are you man enough or woman enough to stick by it no matter what? Amen. But no matter what it looks like, you ain't changing. Amen. Except as God changes. And no matter what your friends say or your relatives or anybody else, it's a call. You know, if I left a very lucrative business, and I'm not talking about my wife and I'm talking about other setups where I could be making a very good income right now, big income right now. But listen, this is a very big income. This is a call of God. Which one should you choose? He said, you don't have a choice. That's the truth. Anything else is foolish. A fool says in his heart, this can't be God, the calling, because look at the prophet. A fool in his heart says, this has got to be God because there's a lot of money in it. You know. You know in your heart which one you're supposed to do. Don't be a fool. There's a call of God. Nothing else matters. Bill, nothing else matters. Nothing else. That's what it's going to take to get a call from God. Is God has to know that that's your final statement. Nothing else matters. If all my friends leave, if everybody in the world forsakes me, you know that's what they did to Jesus? Everybody in the world forsook him. And he said, I'm still doing the call of the Father, no matter what. Well, Jesus, you can call 10,000 angels. Don't remember that as a provision of the call of God. This is what God told me to do, and I'm not backing out for comfort's sake. Hey, just think about this. You're on the cross, Harry. And you know in your arsenal you got angels that can wipe the face of the earth off. And these people are standing out there and mocking at you and laughing at you, and you have this arsenal. But you don't do it because it's not God. Are you sure about this? Are you sure about the call? Are you sure? Well, my parents may not like me anymore. You see, my wife had a call of God on her life to be my wife. And her parents told her, if you do, we'll never speak to you again. She said,
bye.
And I remember the time. It didn't take her that long. She didn't have to pray and fast for weeks and weeks. She said, bye. Sure you won't tell God I'll do anything? I promise you, it's the best thing you could ever do. Hey, you two back there on the back, I'm serious. You couldn't do anything better in your entire life than tell God anything you want me to do. You'll never have more joy and more peace in your entire life than when you really mean that. Because he just laughs and he puts laughter in you. And he gets happy and he puts it in you. And now he says, all is well. And that comes in, that gets in you. His idea of all is well gets in you. When you say anything you want, God. Y'all stand. If you haven't ever told God that, please tell him now. Please answer the first call in your life that God says, trust me. Trust me. I've got heaven designed. There's hell designed. Trust me with heaven. Just be what you want. Just say, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. Anytime, any place, any way. And let's get on with this thing called ministry. Let's get on with the real life, the one that's controlled in the spirit, not the flesh. No matter what. If you're looking in the face of death, you say, I serve a living God. I trust Him. If you look in the face of poverty, say, it's not God's will. I know that that doesn't affect me. I trust God. God, I've done the best I can with the words you've given me. I know that it's not upon me to make them believe. I've been called and now I've told. It's up to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, it's up to you. God, I'd love to see from this small group the mightiest men and women of valor I've ever seen, because we've been faithful to speak the truth. God, I ask by your Spirit that you move now. Move now. Move now. Thank you, Jesus. Move now by your wind, by your Spirit, by your breath. Heal and save and deliver. Give a consciousness of God that's way beyond anything we've ever hoped for. A consciousness of God. Every moment of every day that we're living for you and we're serving you, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's not one person in this room that is not called. Not one person. You will never forget. You will never forget. God is going to empower you to do what He's asked you to do. This is a mighty, mighty church. Don't be fooled by what you see. You've been called. Don't be fooled by what you think you see. Be at peace. Be at peace with the calling. You're called to attend, but you're called to a lot more than that. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. All hearts clear? All hearts clear? Praise God. Father, then we ask you to seal this word in the hearts for your calling, for the future of this church, for the future of this city. Here is the core. Here is the core. We say this in faith and not doubting. Not doubting. When you called me to this city to build the Nehemiah Church, you didn't call me to do it by myself. Now you're calling others to do it. The serious others. Not these people that wanted parties. Not these people that wanted whipped cream and not truth. Thank you, Lord, that your will is done in our lives. And everybody that agrees says amen. Be blessed. By the way, we got to put this up one more time. Harry, if They're going to call me Thursday. I don't know if you're available. They're going to want somebody to open up our door, and they're going to want to use our chairs. I told them they could. We're trying to make peace with them, right? So, Thursday's when they're going to set up. And she didn't tell me that. She said they're going to set them up, and they're going to lock it up. And, yeah, contact her. Judy's the one that told me. Appreciate you being here. Be blessed.